Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. I have a great show lined up for you today, coming out of the gate. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, and Robert Griswold. We're going to be taking a look at the current events, the environment that exists within and because of this novel coronavirus named COVID-19, and all of its mutations. Now, here's the situation as it stands right now. You've got the virus, or you've got this, and I fully believe this is a bioweapon. If you look at the structure, and the iterations of this virus, the evolution of this, it certainly has a man-made signature to it. Now, and by the way, Breathe No Evil. Steve Quayle from 20 years ago. Those who have purchased that book, it's a valuable asset. I was thumbing through that last night, post-program, and I was looking at it, I'm thinking, man, that's, okay, that's right on the money. So I think that's out of print. I'll ask Steve when he comes on. But the bottom line is this. You've got the actual virus itself. And then you've got the reaction to or the consequences of this specific virus and all of its mutations. The effect that it's having on the economy. Again, three words, Baltic Dry Index. Watch that. All right. Look at what Northern Italy is going through, all of the panic. And I'm going to get into that briefly again before bringing on Steve Quayle and Robert Griswold, because I do have something very important to say. Now, before we get into the program, you know, I want to thank my corporate sponsors, including and especially Lightstream. I got an email the other day from a friend of mine. JT. I'm going to call him JT. Those are his initials. And he said, you can read this on air. He said, Doug, I want to thank you. After listening to your program last week, I took the plunge after talking to my wife. I applied at Lightstream. Needless to say, I was more than satisfied. I had four high interest credit cards that averaged over 20% APR. Now, I'm paraphrasing this because there's some personal information in here that he shared with me, so I don't want to put that in there. My payment has gone down $426 per month, and from the 20% APR, I'm now down to 5.95%. This, thanks to Lightstream. You can't believe how much weight has been lifted from this deal. I would urge everyone who's sitting on the fence to take the plunge and to apply at Lightstream. You can save a lot of money. Lord knows we have and we are. Thanks again. I owe you dinner. And I'm holding you to that, JT. Seriously. And he signs off. So anyway, that's a real life testimonial. So I ask you, how much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Too much? Then why not consolidate your credit cards in just one payment, one lower fixed rate, and start saving money? Folks, it's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. Hey, look, they're much lower than the national average. The average interest rate on credit cards is over 20% APR. Hey, just ask JT. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. And you can get your money as soon as the same day you apply. Just for my listeners, folks, apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's two N's on Hagman. In fact, let me spell it all out for you. It is L-I-G-H-T, STREAM. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% APR or auto pay discount. 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. I want to thank them for the great job that they do. Now, yesterday, the first hour, I mentioned this. I mentioned that, we are plagued by accusations, well, fake news, fear porn for profit. Remember, and this is open source, the man who's on today, Steve Quayle, and I, and the open source, look, we have been accused of inciting fear, causing fear, profiting on fear. Let me get the exact quote here again, because this is important, and this goes around, comes right around to what we're going to be talking about, as well as, what we need to do about it. Hagman and Quayle have demonstrated their abilities to sell precious metals, doomsday prepper gear, books, DVDs, make frightening and false allegations again, inciting fraudulent sources, assuming that they even exist. Hagman's scary, unsubstantiated, and untimely, false, and destabilizing news, commonly known as fear porn for profit, clickbait, fake news, and or propaganda. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. You get the idea. You know, it's amazing because both Steve and I, and Steve coming out of the gate first 20-plus years ago, 25 years ago, a quarter of a century ago, said, you know, I don't want to see other people go through this. I don't want to see, you know, I just want to help people. And now people have taken to litigation because how dare you speak the truth? Eric the Tech from yesterday, can you put up the video from Italy? If you don't mind. Did I catch you off guard? Okay. Well, hold. Okay. Don't worry about it. Whenever you have it, just give me a yell. Oops. Hang on just one second. Okay. You know that it's, do you know his address? His Skype? Talk amongst yourselves, people. Okay. Live show, you know, it's kind of neat, right? All right. Anyway, yeah, we're trying. We're actually trying to connect with our guests. So hold off on the, obviously, folks, hold off on the video. You saw it yesterday if you watched the first hour of the program. And the reason I bring this up is because what we're seeing in Italy, let me just go to this actually, if I may. What we're seeing in Italy is, really pretty much what we've been warning about, because this is going to be coming to the United States. And I suspect in certain areas, because of certain shortages, it's already here. My wife was telling me last week that there was an Oriental or an Asian woman, I should say, in a CVS drugstore. And she was asking for those N95 masks, or the surgical type masks. And the pharmacist or the man behind the counter said, look, we've been sold out of those for 2 weeks. And she was very insistent, checking the back. You've got to have them. You've got to have them. As if that was the only store in our community. And my wife, you know, said, man, she was really insistent on getting the N95 masks or getting these masks. And here in our community, there's no discussion, there's no talk really about this coronavirus. So take that attitude. Not that there was anything bad or wrong with that attitude, but take that and multiply that by tens of thousands. And this is what we need to prevent, I believe. If we are to be responsible and save lives, isn't it up to you and me and you and your family to prepare ahead of time? Of course it is. And I know you're saying, oh, shut the heck up, Bob Newhart. I resemble that remark, but just shut up, because we know, but you know, but I wonder if maybe somebody who happens upon this video knows, or this broadcast knows, or really has really thought this out. And it's not just about thinking about where we're at today, but thinking ahead, not just one, but two and three steps ahead. And that's so important. You know, speaking about fake news and such, when we looked at, you looked at Drudger this morning. Oh, what's that? All right. Eric the Tech, thank you. And you know, you can chime on air anytime you want. People love it and they want to see you anyway and they want to hear you. But anyway, so, all right, we do have our guests, but I do want to confirm here that there is panic among those who are unprepared. And there is fear and panic among those people who aren't plugged in, you know, aren't listening to the fake fraudulent platforms like the Hagmann Report. And who aren't listening to these scary, unsubstantiated, ultimately false, destabilizing news. Fear porn for profit, clickbait, fake news, propaganda. How dare us generate significant traffic funds from digital monetization? What that means is, you know, like talking about this, right? Ad revenue by, I gotta shut that down. Hang on a second here. All right. Yeah. Okay. By, inducing multi-million-dollar interstate and international commerce of merchandise. Okay. Multi-million-dollar. Okay. Whatever. And services, including but not limited to precious metals. Oh my gosh. Oh. Okay. Books. Oh, bad. DVDs, bad. Prepper. Doomsday. Survival gear. Freeze-dried food. Oh, the horror. The humanity. By using fear porn for profit, fake news, disinformation, and conspiracies disguised as if legitimate news. Hey, look on your TV. Wonder if they even have real sources. You can ask Phil Haney, his family. Can't ask Phil Haney because he was shot in the chest, but it's all right. You know, continue, right? You sense an anger and you're damn right. I'm angry, righteously so. If you have a second now, if you can toss up the two videos. Now, these are dated. This is a couple days ago, but so you can only imagine it's going to get worse. This is from Twitter. I want you to see this. This is what's happening in Italy, northern Italy. Okay, hang on a second, guys. It's just hang on. We're having some issues here. Hey, Steve, turn the camera on. No, I'm kidding, Steve. But look at Drudge Report, the headlines of Drudge. All right, ready? All right, let's look what's going on in northern Italy. Let's remind ourselves. Is that right, Hook? This is what happens when food runs out. So don't prepare. That's right. It's fake. Don't worry. You know what? I don't want to scare you. We don't want to scare you. Don't prepare. Let's go to video two from yesterday again. All right. Hang on. We're going to bring it up. But see, don't prepare, right? How dare us even suggest? And again, there's a purpose I'm doing this right now. There's a purpose I'm doing this today. Please trust me on this. The headlines from Drudge today, I'll just rattle them off to you. All right. Seriously. We don't even have to put them up. Fear in Italy. Warnings Berlin. Caution Israel. 83 isolate in New York. Stocks spiral. Dow enters correction. That's just the big print on Drudge. And then down below, this was something else. Trump faces growing crisis. Pence to lead government response. Yellen could throw economy into recession. What do you think is the only, or one of the more vulnerable areas of Donald Trump right now in this election season? It's the economy. BOFA cuts global growth forecast the lowest since financial crisis. We're talking about 2008. CDC issues beard guide. Hey, Eric, beard guide for guys like you and Steve Quayle. And everyone else with a beard. Okay, listen to this. Respirators on eBay for over $10,000. That's what Steve Quayle's been trying to prevent. That's what Bob Griswold's been trying to prevent. You are looking right now at ignorant, asinine, asshole-like claims. That's right. Is this what you want, people? Is this it? These are asinine accusations. Respirators on eBay for over $10,000. Is that what you want? Next, it's going to be a can of pears for $20. But by God, make sure you take down all the platforms that insist on preparation. And if I see a comment, by the way, don't yell at me. You know what? Sometimes I wonder if that's all we got. The second video from Italy. Count them in line. Yeah, fear porn. That's reality right now to the people in Italy. That's reality. And I wonder how many people in that line are thinking, you know, I probably should have done this a year ago, 2 months ago, 6 months ago. Hell, 2 weeks ago. You know, I wonder about the people. I listen to, you know, whoever saying, well, this is fear porn. Right? Clickbait, fear porn. Can we put those four attachments up that I put in there? FB, fake news, or no? Is that troublesome? Seriously, Eric, I don't want to. All right, that's enough. Yeah, I don't want to take the time up. But if you search in Google, I just want to just say this real quick. If you search in Google, for example, search virus and conspiracy or virus and, whatever combination of words. You know, the Wuhan virus, this is from Foreign Policy. Wuhan virus is not a lab-made bioweapon. This is from a month ago. Fake news, okay, fake news virus. Listen to this real quick. And again, I'm making a point. Hoax debunked. None of these coronavirus news on Facebook, YouTube are true. And a big fake news thing. They're deciding what they want you to believe, and you know this. But see, they are not content with, and I apologize for going over on Stephen Bob's time, but they're not content. And people like this, in my view, are not content with, that was important. I need that. They're not content with just saying, well, you know what? Don't believe them. No, they've got to shut us down. And they're trying to shut us down. They're trying to shut Steve down. They're trying to shut Bob Griswold down. And you know what? Truth can't be silenced. That's my final statement. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you because I'm sick of this.
Well, first of all, you know, I resemble those remarks because most of this, Doug, as you know, is aimed primarily at you and I by a cadre of what I call the millstone minions. These are people that are so intent on shutting you up and shutting me up and shutting Bob up. And Bob, I'm going to bring you right on because, again, I want you to respond to that. And we've had a little lag here, Doug, in being able to interact with you. But here's the deal. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that I had a lieutenant colonel from the military in my office a number of years ago, and I've shared the story. It's real. And some of these people that are suing us, we have, through discovery, found out who's paying them. We, through discovery, have found out, quote, from people who hate the people that are suing us more than, obviously, Doug or I love them. See, people are getting tired. This is a war. And I want to say this. I'm going to turn it right over to Bob. those of you who have accused me of fear porn, of, quote, selling fear to sell products, I was called by the living God face to face, whether you believe it or not, and I would never say to hell with anybody if they were normal human beings, but to hell with you demon-possessed spawn. The highway to hell has no speed limit, and you guys are on it, lest ye repent. And if it's a demon-possessed woman that can follow and file an affidavit and basically have her own kids say she needs to go into an asylum, she needs to check herself in, Doug and I have provided those affidavits to the authority of people who are saying that they're doing drugs and everything else. They don't even know if they're sane. And then people take that up and run with it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. But it doesn't matter because, again, we're all fear porn. I tell you this, Bob, here it goes. Anybody that calls me a fear porn, you are my enemy. And you are the enemy of all living because by your keeping them from coming into a preparedness mindset, doing what they can do now, you've sentenced them to death. And seriously, may the God of heaven rebuke you. Your tongues cleave to your mouth. And we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. This was a bioweapon. I didn't waver. I told you. I wrote the book. I tell people what's going on. They say, Al Quayle's just trying to make everybody all worried. Guess what, everybody? Your mouth that's full with food and guile next year will be filled with guile because your heart hasn't changed unless you repent. But your mouth won't be filled with food. Go ahead, Bob.
You know, first of all, Doug and Steve, I want to thank you for having me on. But as Doug was speaking, you know, you always have to look at the more nefarious side of this coin. And, you know, I think a lot of this information that's being put out about not buying and this and it's fear and that, whatever it is, it's actually designed to keep you from buying. Because if you don't have food and water when there are no water, where are you going to go? You're going to go right to the government and you'll get in that government food line and you'll do whatever they say to get whatever you need. If you don't think that, all you have to do is look at history. I mean, today in America, I think it's up to 2 million children and adults sell themselves daily for basic necessities. You know, Steve, we've talked before about that book, The Savage Continent, where husbands sent their wives and daughters out for, you know, those purposes to bring food back into their home. And when Doug said, you know, you'll sell a can of pears for $20. I'm going to back up here. We live in a society that is sexually depraved and violent. That can of pears will cost you far more than $20 if you don't have it. For some depraved person down the street who has eyes on family members, that's what it's going to cost you. If you don't think I'm right, I think you're historically naive because that's the history of the world. That's what people do. As I've said before, you know, you get a society that is filled with violence and filled with sexual depravity. When the rule of law breaks down, those people are not going to take up knitting. They're going to take up what they've entertained their heart to do. That's the Bible. What we put in our heart, what we fill ourselves with, that is what comes out of it. What we fill our eye with, that is what's going to come out. So, Doug, you know, I think a lot of what you read right now, it's designed to intimidate people from preparing because there are certain elements in our government that want you dependent upon them because they can coerce you. They can use you. They can blackmail you. They can, if they take a fancy to someone in your family, they can use that need that you have to exploit that fancy that they have towards your family member. And so I think it, like I said, I think it is far more nefarious than that. I think there are those that out there that generally believe that, but I think the core of it is people trying to get other people not to prepare. Because unprepared people will panic and they'll jump at the first person that offers them a life raft or a life preserver.
You know, Bob, if I can just
that's going to be the people that exploit them.
Exactly.
And believe me, I say this really brokenhearted because I have seen it. You will be exploited in ways that you would horrify your soul right now if you would have contemplated. So you can say all you want to say about not preparing. You know, I go back to the scriptural elements of preparation of Joseph and Noah. You know, when I say this, faith builds arcs. Faith builds silos. You know, if we neglect that faith that God gives us and warns us of things to come, and we just say, well, I'm going to just trust God. Well, you're going to trust God to find a piece of driftwood, or others that have done other things are going to trust God when they get into their ark. You know, I notice on your desk, Doug, you have two coffee mugs. And I was having a discussion. Steve, you know John, the big guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was asking, what do you think the most vulnerable thing when it breaks down will be? And I said, well, sex. I mean, and I said, but more people won't deal with that. But that will be the most vulnerable thing people have. People will sell themselves to get what they want. And then he goes, as Christians, what will we do? I said, well, the next two things would be either tobacco or alcohol, which still there's moral implications in doing that. You know, people want to know what the most vulnerable thing I think that a moral person can deal with is, Douglas, what you have on your desk. Coffee.
Coffee.
You know, millions and millions of people drink it. We see memes all the time about I missed my coffee and I was ready to strangle somebody. You know, even though that's done tongue in cheek and supposed to be funny. You know, there's a lot of people who are totally need that coffee every day. And I do believe that you sell coffee. And this, you didn't ask me to do this. But I will say this. I would have an ample supply of coffee as not the primary source of nutrition, obviously, but I would have it as a comfort food and something you can offer for comfort for others. I think it is absolutely critical you have a good supply of that in your home, along with other things. So that's what I say. You know, the thing we don't understand in all of this right now is the supply chain. We somehow think that because China and I get things from China right now I can't get. Let's just say a radio. And there's, say, let's just make it easy. Five components that make up that radio, A, B, C, D, E. You know, when all that goes down and you try to get it back up, A needs B, but B needs A. It's very difficult because A can't make B without B making A. If that's making sense to you. And so you have these different components when the supply chain breaks down. It's going to take, I think, years to recover from this economically, if we do recover. You know, Steve, I think Steve's of the opinion I am. This is just birth pangs that we're seeing right now. It's the beginning of sorrows, and it's probably going to get a lot worse. And so I would just encourage people, be careful who you listen to, the mockers. I mean, Noah listened to it. You're building what? You know, Joseph, you're doing what? Silos? Why? And I want to point something out about Joseph. Even though he's a godly man, a moral man, you know, at the end of the day, he owned the food. The government owned the food because Joseph represented the government of Egypt. Steve, what happened to those people? What did they have to give up to get the food at the end of the day?
Everything.
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 They lost everything. And I do imagine there were probably those in Egypt at that time that said, look at this guy. He's pretty good. He has a relationship with God, the prophet. I'm going to do what he's doing, but I'm not going to wait for the government to do it. I'm going to do it myself. And there might have been those in the government that said, why are you doing that? This guy's doing it. He'll take care of us. And he did. But it cost you your land, your property, your money, everything. And at the end of the day, when the crisis was over, Joseph owned it all. I will tell you this, and I can back it up with history over and over and over again, that these crises, because we don't look at it just as this coronavirus crisis, we look at it as this locust crisis. We look at the swine flu crisis. And on top of that, Steve, we look at the absolute breakdown of civility that's going on right now. Those videos that you just watched in Italy, that's going to happen here. When people cannot eat and they cannot get food, they're going to absolutely lose it. I mean, keep in mind, you know, one in five Americans is an alcoholic. We have a drug dependent. We have children. This breaks my heart. You think of children that have original set of parents, but those parents got divorced. They got remarried. Those parents got divorced. They got remarried. And these children have never known any stability in their life. They're already riding the edge of emotional, you know, disaster. And then something like this happens. We're going to see catastrophe in this country if this thing goes the way it looks like it's going to go, unparalleled. We have a generation or several generations of young people that feel entitled. When that entitlement goes away and they have to actually realize I have to produce to get something, it's going to be a catastrophe in this country. So I don't know if you had any questions on that, Steve, but the supply chain is breaking down and we are going to see shortages. And that's the sorrow of it.
Doug, I want people to know something. Today's food, everything you're eating that's canned, everything that you're eating that's prepared was someone else's efforts. And what happens when those efforts cease? By the way, Bob, you sent me an email today from China, of Wuhan, of people screaming and going mad. And I don't know, Doug, if you've seen that yet, but you need to put it up so people can honestly see it.
Yes.
Bob?
If you could put it up right now, it'd be so.
I think you should put that up, and thank you. But here's the thing. What's interesting, Doug, is Americans are so isolated in the rest of the world. I mean, I don't hear people calling for prayer and fasting, although I'm going to do it, and praying for our Chinese brethren as well as our Iraqi brethren. Of course, we didn't care about our Syrian brethren when they're being drawn and quartered and sold in the meat market. We cared more about were we politically correct with the faith that was doing that. The bottom line is this. If you don't eat, you're not going to live. And I want everybody to understand something. You are being driven to the slaughter pens. Call them FEMA camps. Call them re-education camps, whatever. But ladies and gentlemen, you're being driven there. Your only choice is to repent, come to Jesus, and then do what you can do, believing God for doing only what he can do. And I concur with what Bob said. I think everybody should recognize one thing. Esau sold his birthright and all future blessing for one meal because he came out of the field hungry. He was famished. Look, he was a hunter. He should have probably built a fire and cooked something on the spot. Not waiting to get home for a different meal. It's like this. Everybody loses track of what they've got in their hand, and they're looking forward to the next meal. They don't recognize that's an assumption. So if Esau, the promise, an actual heir of the promises of God, detested the promises of God so much that he sold his, in essence, future inheritance for a bowl of pottage, trust me. This is not going. No, trust the word of God. Take what I'm saying and Bob's saying to the living God. But you know, Doug, I want to thank God that there is righteous indignation, and I am convinced that people that use fear monger, all the stuff they add. Joseph was a businessman. They'll read that, Bob, and they'll say, "Well, you know, you guys are fear porn mongers." That term, fear porn, was a central intelligence agency mind-controlled MK-Ultra term that repeated enough and enough, just like the headlines of the mainstream vomit brokers, was inculcated into the vernacular of the people that are willing to do it. See, they won't do anything, but they'll mock, they'll ridicule, they'll scorn those who do. And the day will come. I refuse to say that any longer. The day is now here where every bit of evidence is being presented. And if people won't move, Bob, then in essence, they've already signed their own fate and sealed their own fate. Doug?
By the way, I want to just drive this point home. Folks, set your alarms. Tonight, Steve Quayle is going to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. I love it when he's on, and I can guarantee you this is going to be an anointed show tonight that we're doing, but later tonight with Steve Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. I want to get that in there, Steve, because Lord knows we're going to be talking about a lot of things, and I'm going to forget. So Steve Quayle on Coast to Coast AM tonight in just a few hours, and that is tonight, February 27th. 2020, or in some cases the 28th, but tonight. So go ahead, Steve. I apologize.
Well, here's where we're at. We're at the Fisher Cup bait time. And the thing is that, and Bob's telling you, because he's a seller of products that come from China. The bottom line in all this is simply the fact that the supply chains are broken. You brought up the Baltic Dry Index. You know, 400,000 containers sitting off port. They can't unload. And if they did have letters of credit and everything, what's to anybody not to know that, hey, that last ship out of Wuhan came. And by the way, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Dean Koontz in his book in 1981 talked about the Wuhan 400. And again, I spent hours and hours and hours, hundreds, real hundreds of hours, not like guys saying they spent 150,000 hours studying Yeats' Bible, and gee, that only make them about 200 years old, but that's neither here nor there. But a person void of humanity that would hate us enough to try and stop us with false accusers and everything else. Look, I can rest assured, and I said this, Bob, you know this, and I've said it to Doug. If it had not been for Doug Hagman, tens of thousands of people would not have come to Jesus. If it had not been for the calling on my life prior to Y2K, after Y2K, a lot of people have come in. If it hadn't been for your life, Bob, a lot of people would starve in the future. But the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, the finger pointing at us is going to, well, those accusers, false accusers, the Paul says, well, they point their fingers at us. Guess what? At some point, they are going to have to choke, and they're going to have to go without, and they're going to have to see that everything they belittled, everything they slandered, everything they scorned to try and get people to live. These are the haters of life. And so here's the deal. The gloves are off. People are dying. It is a bioweapon. And guess what? There's a second bioweapon coming and a third bioweapon coming. That's why you can't develop a vaccine for coronavirus, you know, A, when there's 24 variations of that. Then the combination virus is coming, like Ebola pox or Ebola mixed with, and then the tertiary is a knockout. Bob, share what happened with the Spanish flu, because this is exactly what happened then. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the Spanish flu came in three waves. First wave was not even toxic at all. It was just like a standard flu. But what happened is migrated over into the war zone in Europe, and it ended up in the trench warfare where you had decomposing bodies and soldiers were having to do their business down there, and the virus mutated. And then when the army came back, it brought it to the United States. And one thing I didn't know till recently, Steve, is that it had morphed into a hemorrhagic flu, which I didn't even know there was such a thing. And now we're reading that this virus, this coronavirus, is taking on the nature of both AIDS and Ebola, which would be a hemorrhagic flu. And they actually was reading stories of men, white guys like you and I, that when they died, they looked African because their body had bled, all their capillaries had ruptured, and it turned their skin dark. And so, I totally agree with you. There's a book here. I'm just going to point it out. Everybody should read this book. I don't know if it's the Germs by Judith Miller. I don't know if I can focus it. It's not focusing too well, but it goes into all of this, what they do with bioweaponry, how they encapsulate viruses so they'll stay on surfaces a long time so people can touch them and contract them, how they just absolutely altered from how the CDC used the Ebola virus and the smallpox virus to come up with a hemorrhagic smallpox, which is 99% fatal. This is what we're talking about. And again, you know, I think it's kind of hypocrisy for people in the government to say, well, we're just promoting fear porn, buying food, doing this and that. Who buys the most storage food? It's the government does. They've bought tons of it. In fact, I had a DHS agent call me a couple years ago, and he told me that he actually wanted to buy quite a lot of storage food. And I was playing coy, and I asked him why. And he goes, well, I can't tell you. And I said, well, give me a hint. What is it? He goes, well, I'll just tell you this, that when it goes off, it won't come back on. And I was presuming he was thinking about the power. So, you know, we see a government that might be mocking us about providing and buying storage food, but at the same time, They're buying lots of it. They're buying ammunition. They're buying all the necessities of survival, but they mock us for doing it because I truly believe that there are elements within our government that do not want you preparing because they want to be able to manipulate you and, you know, have designs on you to do whatever they want to do with you. If that's put you in a FEMA camp, they can do it. I don't want to get too graphic, but, you know, I know that there were people in Germany that had to compromise morally a lot. And you can imagine what I'm talking about, just to keep another loved one safe. And I think with the moral breakdown of our country the way it is, I don't think that's too far-fetched to believe that. You know, it's a matter of dependence. Who are we going to be dependent upon? Who are we going to rely upon? Do we rely on a God that tells us ahead of time, that gives us historical example after historical example of what is coming? Or do we sit there and think, well, you know, this Pollyanna, I'll have faith bit that says, you know, I'll just wait and see what happens. And more times than not, that you're going to end up in a place you do not want to end up. You know, right now, I will tell you that most of the long-term food storage companies are out of food. And one of the ones I represent, Numana, they're on 60 to 90-day backlog. It is drying up because what's happening is there's a panic right now. And we're having people call us up yelling at us because we can't get them food. Like I would have any ability to just make it out of thin air. And I've drawn back to those videos that you showed, Doug. You know, if they're getting angry right now when the supermarkets are still relatively full and they can't get their survival food right now, what are they going to do when they can't get any food? I want to bring back into remembrance something. Do you remember last year, Steve and Doug, all the drought and flooding and all that we had, and then when they replanted the crops, we had hail that killed some of it, and they said, don't worry, next year we'll recover. You remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, I do.
And now we look, this year, we have another disaster happening, multiple disasters happening. And how long are they going to be able to keep saying next year we'll recover before the next year there's nothing to recover? And keep in mind, you know, the first thing that comes out of a food supply is the ability to regrow food. You know, it's not that the food, they have to put seed away for the next year so they can grow food to begin with. And as these crops and world production goes down, we're going to see more and more people getting hungry. We're going to see incidents like what you saw in Italy, and even worse. So I just want to encourage people right now, you know, use common sense. Think about what you're saying when you go to your pantry, and think about the consequences of decisions when you go in your pantry in 2 or 3 weeks from now, which I think we could see schools starting to shut down, which sets a whole nother chain of events in course. When schools start shutting down and, you know, you can't go out, they quarantine things, they cloister people, you know, and you don't have anything in your home.
Hey, Bob, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Eric, the tech, just wanted me to ask this, and I know that we're going to be getting emails about this. Translate this, if you don't mind. If a listener, a viewer wants to buy, a bunch of freeze-dried vegetables, cans, or freeze-dried food, any kind, and they call you, is it still available right now to
Some
you?
Of it is. I'd say 80% of it's gone.
Okay, so
you're going to get in a waiting list.
Okay.
And I'm telling people, Dad, this isn't about me.
Right.
There's things we sell. I would say get it wherever you can get it right now. Because if it gets much worse, all the storage food in the United States will be gone. There's still some left, but it is quickly going away. We always judge our business by the UPS computer because, you know, if we're entering orders in and they're repeat customers and 80-90% is repeat customers, which is a good thing, it means we're servicing our customers well. But when 80-90% of your customers are not in the UPS computer or anything else, that means it's a lot of new people buying, which puts it's putting a lot greater stress and demand on the supply chain, which is going to come under duress, which is going to have breaks in it. I mean, again, we think just growing food, and you know, we're not like Mike Bloomberg, who just thinks you just put a seed in the ground. I mean, there's fertilizer, gasoline, tractors. I mean, there's so many components that go into that. It's 67 steps is what I read one time that takes to take a seed, to harvest that seed, to keep that seed, to put it in the ground the next year, to, you know, grow it and then have all the tractor trailers, gas and everything, marketing boxes, ink, cardboard, plastic, that puts it on the shelf in your store for you to buy it, bring it home and cook it. It's an incredibly complex supply chain. So I would say, yes, there's still some things available. But, Doug, with the humanity of it, I would say go anywhere you can and get your food right now. I really like Numana Foods, but I know right now they're probably 60 to 90 days behind. Mm-hmm. And in 60 to 90 days from right now, we could be facing a crisis that we can't even begin to imagine. Wow. You know, I really wish, you know, the sobering of it, that video that came out of Wuhan, and it wasn't just a few people screaming. You could hear the whole city, this cacophony of screams of people in the night that were in pain, suffering, lack of food, lack of supplies. It was really a very, very disturbing video to listen to.
And Stephen, Bob, if you've got that video, I'm sorry to interrupt. For some reason, I can't access it, and Eric was trying to. If you could,
I think it's on Steve's website.
Yeah, it's on my website.
Okay.
I think the title of it is Heartbreaking or okay. Some title. I'll send it to you. Know,
and I think if you could play that, and then let's keep in mind as you're playing that, you don't need – you're just fear-mongering. Keep that in mind when you hear that video.
Right.
So, Doug, I want to make it real clear. This isn't about ready-made resources right now. I mean, we've done this a long time. Obviously, it's how I make my living. But this is about saving lives right now.
And to piggyback off that, this is not about Steve and I either. This is, you know, I had a conversation with a family member. It's my wife's, well, I'm not going to, she's got two beautiful children, two young girls. And I looked at her and I said, please do something. Please. You don't have to listen to me. In fact, don't even listen to me because she doesn't really care for me that much. And I can understand why because, you know, well, anyway, so. I said, please, for your children. And, you know, the contempt there, against the messenger. But you're right, Bob. It's not about any one of us. It's about them. It's about saving their bacon, their lives, you know, and their souls too. I'll just shut up now, but it just hurts me. It really hurts me, beyond description because,
you know, Doug, I've been in situations in my life overseas where I have been absolutely petrified in fear. Now, I know God didn't want me there, and I had to trust him through it. But I'm just saying there's two things that we have. There's two different types of fear people have. One person has the fear of God. And Noah, it says, moved with holy fear. And what did that fear cause Noah to do? Did it cause him just to sit down and say, well, God's going to provide for me. God's going to do this. He's just going to, you know, do whatever. No, Noah moved with holy fear. He built an ark, which it says he brought about the salvation of his family. And in doing so, he kept the line of the Messiah open so the Messiah could be born. And so we see one man's act of faith, which I think is probably the greatest act of faith in the Bible other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It took a great human effort to do what he did. That building, that ark, was a structure that was never been built before in his time. And so it was an amazing thing he did. And so that type of faith motivates you to do something. It doesn't paralyze you. It doesn't cause you to go around like Chicken Little screaming and just worrying. It causes you to do something, which in the end will bring you peace. The other type of fear that these people are doing, they are promoting a fear that paralyzes because that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be paralyzed with fear when you all of a sudden there is no food in the grocery store like those ones in Italy and all of a sudden you look in your pantry and you've got a can of olives and sardines and maybe some crackers, and you realize that's all that's there. You're going to be paralyzed with fear, and you're going to look back and say, why didn't I do something? I mean, I hear people right now going, I just wish I'd known this was going to happen. I'd have bought 100,000 N95 masks 3 months ago, and I'd make a fortune. Well, I mean, I don't agree with that mentality, but yeah, I woulda, shoulda, coulda. That makes the big difference. But there's going to be people that, because they did not move with holy fear, they understand the nature of God. They understand what God, how God moves in civilizations and in cultures and in people, and how he brings judgment, how he does these things. They're going to be paralyzed when it comes to the point when they realize their mockery is what they're going to have to eat, because they won't have anything set aside. And that fear, as the Bible tells us, is going to make their heart stop. It'll be so bad. That fear of not having will cause them in desperation to do things morally that we can't even talk about on this program. And so I just want to point that out. There's two paths we can take, and I'll reiterate it. You can take the path of holy fear, or you can take the path of irrational fear. And that's what they're promoting, is they say we're promoting an irrational fear. Well, I think we have history. I think we have the Bible on our side to say that we're promoting a holy fear.
I would also like to add, Doug, just for Eric's sake, if he goes on my website, the absolute heartbreaking thing, the Wuhan residents, horrific wailing. It's the like number three story up from the bottom. For some reason, no kidding, in real time, I'm looking over at my computer on the right. It will not allow me to email it to you or Eric, but Eric, if you're here, I'm sure you're listening to me. Go to the absolutely heartbreaking Wuhan residents. I want to share something.
You can't even open the link, brother. That's what I was trying to say. I couldn't even open that link.
But can anyway. Eric open it?
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
Yeah, I can open it, Doug, and I mean, it's opening for me. I just can't send the YouTube thing. It won't. But here, let me share something with everybody. This is where the metal, I think, I can testify of what it's like to hear wailing and weeping of hopelessness and eternal despair. Listen to this. Before the living God, I will stand account and give this. When I became an early Christian, you know, I could not believe in hell. I had seen Jesus. I had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'd seen a panorama of history. I never could believe in hell. For the first probably month, I was saved. And I'm talking Jesus face to face. I'm not talking, you know, when people have heard my testimony. But I couldn't believe in hell. And I remember kneeling at my couch, at a champagne velvet couch, kind of like a silver gray couch, and tears rolling down my face going, God, help me. If hell's real, show me, okay? Instantly, I was transported out of my body. I was going down. I was falling. I was in black goo, and the goo was with me. But what got louder and louder were the screams of the damned. What got louder and louder was the hopelessness. What got louder and louder was the despair. And God gave me an instant understanding. This is a guy that couldn't believe in hell, you know, a couple minutes before this is happening. And he said, it's forever. And I understood what you're hearing. And I never saw the devil in hell. I saw the most dark darkness. I heard the most horrific thing. I heard the help me's. I heard the wailing, and I'd never heard wailing before in my entire life, you know? And even the Middle Eastern people that wail at funerals couldn't do it. When Bob sent that to me, and I forget what time he sent it to me, Bob, that brought all those memories. You know what that was, everybody? That was the wailing of hopelessness. It's a wailing of despair. It's a cry to God Almighty, help me. You all are being given this opportunity today to come to know Jesus. Seriously, more people have come to know Jesus by presenting the historic Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the red letter version of Jesus. That's the New Testament, the King James, with the words of Jesus. But everybody who claims to be evangelical Christians, the pulpits are silent as to the lateness of the hour. The pulpits are in agreement with the clergy response teams to lead you all who go to those evangelical churches or whatever churches, like the Pied Pipers of Perdition, distorting the scripture. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. But we're fighting amongst ourselves. One minute I'm in friendship with somebody who's a Christian, the next minute he won't talk to me anymore my whole life, or vice versa. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is no trial run. We talked about in the years past. Somebody said, why didn't you talk about the Illuminati and the Committee of 400? I said, I did that 24 years ago. Well, why didn't you talk about preparation? I did that 22 years ago for probably 10 years. The point is that it is now. God is the God of the now. And it's as simple as saying this. And I agree with what Bob said. Fear? I'm telling you this. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill the body, but rather fear him, my heavenly Father, God Almighty, that can send you to hell. And what's it interesting? Jesus, okay, Bob Griswold and I are trying to provide the antidote for fear. Doug, you've provided the platform for the antidote for fear. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're accused of being fearmongers. Then take your accusations to the King of Glory, who has redeemed me, who has redeemed Bob Griswold, who has redeemed Doug Hagman, and ask him, say, Jesus is a fearmonger. Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for looking after those things coming upon the earth. Doug, fear is going to be the most prevalent emotion, and I would say this, watch it kick into high gear fear. There you go. There you go, all you on the highway to hell at full speed ahead. Watch it.
Speaking, gentlemen, if I can break in here, speaking of high gear fear, let's play that. I think it's so important right now to, put a period there and play this, Wuhan resident horrific wailing, screaming. Folks, please pay attention. Listen to this. This is, the video that we could not open earlier, but this is Wuhan 2020. Here it is.
朋友们，我们小区这些人忍不住了。 来听一下，在狂吼。 不知道在吼啥，这一个片区都吼起来了。 想出去啊。 那边又胡起来了，那边大家都睡不着啊。
Sobering, Steve, Bob, Steve, go ahead.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. Those are people. Yep. You know, those are souls. They might be way over there, but they're still people. And, you know, those emotions that they're feeling are real. And I would say this. There comes a day when the arc on the door closes. And I can only imagine those same wails that we just heard, Noah heard outside the ark. You know, God is merciful. His mercy is beyond. I mean, he should have toasted me a long time ago. But his mercy extends forever, and he's long suffering. He gives people a long time to hear his voice and to act upon it. And I just say right now, as we see this, I think it, you know, like we're seeing this come in greater and greater waves of disaster. But we'll recover next year. But what happens if we don't? What happens if the supply chain stays down for 2 years? What happens if all the people that have become chemically dependent in this country can't get their medications? Because, you know, there's always that component element to medication. Then you have to have machines that run it. Then you have to have bottles. The bottles have to probably make dyed ink, and it goes into the bottle. You have to have ink that makes the labels, paper that makes the labels, plastic that makes the top. Just that one thing, if people cannot get their medication, whether it's diabetes medication, you know, blood pressure medication, or the opiates, the benzos, You know, if they can't get them, that would absolutely be catastrophic on our society right now. Worse than that, you know, if that is just one element of what we're talking about. The people in Wuhan have basically been cordoned off and supplies aren't going in and they're suffering. I watched a lady from Wuhan the other day. She was making a video and she was literally hysterical over the fact that she'd been abandoned by her government, and she literally was going hysterical in the video. If we don't think that's going to come to the United States, again, I think we're Pollyanna. You know, there will be those that have open arms that will make offer to you at that time. Let me ask you this, Steve and Doug. You heard those screams. If I could go in there and say, I will rescue you, but it will cost you your soul, those people would jump at it. I'll take you out of this mess, but it'll cost you your soul, cost you everything, and we can leave right now. That's the desperation we're talking about. I would just say, beseech my Christian brothers and sisters, husbands, you know, don't be put in that position.
Amen.
Act upon what God's telling you to do now.
Bob and Steve, I apologize. We're up against the network break, top of the hour network break. We have to take this. Folks, Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources. The link will be in the Hagman Report live program description box. Please reach out to him. And outro there, but we'll get through it. You're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Stay right where you're at. I'm going to be right back.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can find our audios or videos. And HagmanReport.com for important backstory information, contributor articles, and such. Don't forget, next Monday, Peter Barry Chocolate is going to be filling in for me as a guest host. I've got to take care of some business on that day, unfortunately, but you folks love Peter Baryshauka. Before I continue, you know, one of the best sources of information, entertainment, really information, is Audible. I found this. I've been using Audible now for a year and a half, more than that, 2 years, I think. And I'm excited about the partnership that Audible has created with the Hagman Report, folks. Let me tell you this. Many people ask how I'm able to read so many books. For example, Jerome Corsi, like him, hate him, doesn't matter, about his situation. It's on Audible. I could name just about any author you can think of. It's on Audible. You can listen. That's right, listen. And this is what I do. I listen to I listen to Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word audiobooks, entertainment, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs, news, business, self-development. And every month, members get one credit to pick up any title plus two Audible originals from a monthly selection. There's access to daily news digests. You pick one, Wall Street Journal, for example. And kicking off 2020, as they had done, there's focusing on growth and this new year. Let me tell you, I am so happy to be a customer of Audible, and I hope you do too. I hope you become a customer. And especially now, as we're talking about all of these things, you know, diversion is an important, well, information, entertainment, it's important when you are in a stressful environment. Folks, you can download titles, listen offline anytime, anywhere. The app is free. It can be installed on all smartphones and tablets. You can listen across devices without losing your spot. I found that tremendously great. And if you can't decide what to listen to, don't worry. You can, Audible makes recommendations. Look, I think I've gone through maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50 audiobooks here in the last 2 months. All right. But this is more than audiobooks. This is absolutely, this is more than just audiobooks. Check out the entire offering that they have. They've got podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals you won't find anywhere else. Now, here's what you need to do. Please check them out, courtesy of the Hagman Report. Well, actually, because of their generosity. Go to audible.com/Hagman. Visit audibletrial.com/Hagman. audibletrial.com/Hagman. Regardless, the program or the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com as well as on HagmanReport.com. All right. So, now I want to tell you, this is the absolute best. This is the absolute best of the best, I believe, in terms of learning, growing. And remember, Audible is more than just books. They've got so many other podcasts, as I mentioned. audibletrial.com/Hagman. audibletrial.com/Hagman. All right. Now, Steve, and thank you for your patience, Steve and Bob. Ending with that video from China, it just breaks my heart. Those are people. Bob, you said it. Those are people. People. I'm just going to turn it over to Steve. I'm going to turn it over to you. So much to say. And by the way, none of this is about you and I, about Steve or myself or Bob Griswold or Eric the Titan. This is about all of us because we're all in this. We're all humans. We're all God's creatures, aren't we? I can't show you my heart. I mean, well, Steve, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I think people ought to understand when they say that those of us in alt news are just giving you lies and stuff. I broke this story on Kerry Mullis, who shared the Nobel Prize for his ability to basically is involved in PCR, polymerase chain reaction, on what's called the TAC, Thermus Aquaticus 4 bacteria that was taken out of the mushroom geyser pool in Yellowstone National Park. I put it into a presentation, I think my first year at Branson. But Doug, what I want people to understand is this. I want you to ask a simple question. Has the government ever lied to you? Are politicians known for truth or lies? And therefore, if those of us who have done the research, and I can say go on Wikipedia and look at, and that's not my favorite, go look up TAC, T-A-Q, polymerase. And by the way, Kerry Mullis passed away, I think, in the last year. We were trying to get him on camera for, a project we were working on. But the point is that what people don't understand is that the number one quarantined mindset in the world is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus didn't just tell the truth. He obviously spoke the truth, but he is the truth. Therefore, yeah. If Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one, people say, quit preaching. Uh-uh. Because you need to understand it. The whole world lies in the evil one. So why do Christians believe the evil one? And then they say, guys like us are, it's like this. Man, I'll tell you this. I have never seen a greater fulfillment of the word of the living God that his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because it's not presented to him, but because they reject it. And listen, this is about it. I will stand. And I've said, Doug, you heard me say on your show numerous times, I got off radio, got back on. What was bugging me is I was saying, God, you tell me to warn the people, and if I don't, and finally the Lord set me free. He says, Steve, there's nobody's blood on your hand that has ever heard you. There's nobody's blood on your hand that has attacked you. There's nobody's blood in your life because, Steve, my blood covers your life. You see? And, Bob, here's the thing, okay? You know your days are limited, and I want you to address this. Do you think that people understand that even if everything were to go to perfect right now, the country basically would take at least 9 months? And I don't think people understand how long it's going to be before everything comes back online. And here's what I'm going to say before I turn it over. I'm on record. Excuse me. Those of you who are coming to the Gen 6 conference, Bob will be speaking there. I'll be speaking there. Doug will be there. But what's important is to understand we are seeing the plagues of Egypt now upon this land because we embrace the foreign gods, the Egyptian gods, every other god but the King of Glory. And there has been no concerted effort to call for a cry for repentance, to cry out to the living God. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, our judgment will be swift. You can love Trump, hate him, or just go, what is that guy thinking about? But here's the deal. God used him to polarize a nation, or more than polarized, to divide the nation. This is a divided house. We won't stand. Go ahead, Bob.
You know, I just think of what you said, Steve. What happens if the supply chain has another injury done to it other than this? What happens if this is just the beginning of a long sequence of things that people will have to deal with, and we end up like that video, and places in the United States end up like that video, which I think there are places like it now that people are just living in desperation. You know, I just say this. I look at Abraham in the Bible. When his nephew Lot was kidnapped, you know, Abraham had the moral strength to do what was right. It wasn't his son. It was his nephew. But he had the moral strength to go and say, listen, we're going to go rescue this person, my nephew Lot and his family. You know, first and foremost, to stand in this day, it isn't going to be about supplies. It isn't going to be about guns or night vision or radios. It's going to be about standing strong in a world that hates you, that persecutes you, that mocks you and ridicules you. And yet you are going to stand strong and say, I will do the right thing. You know, because that is the only way you're going to be able to make it through this. As we face greater and greater difficulty, and I do think this is just the beginning of birth pains, as we face greater and greater difficulty, I think we are going to see only those that have firm foundation on the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, are going to be able to stand. I think you see those people in China. I would say most of them don't. I think you see easy believism Christianity in America. Those people, when this happens, the name and claim it, the faith, you know, prosperity gospel, whatever, that the gospel doesn't cost anything, it just gives us stuff. I think we're going to see a catastrophic set of events happen where people are going to lose their minds, just like those people in China have done. And it is going to be more, it's just going to be so awesome in its terror that it's going to shake people to the core. And I think what you said, Steve, they're just not going to stand. They're going to beg for death. They're going to want to die. They're going to want to face it. But, you know, I think what we have at this point is the ability to, what made Abraham be able to stand in that day and do the right thing? We all have access to that power. We all have access to the nature that God gave that makes us be able to stand and say, I'm going to do what is right. I'm not going to listen to the voices that say this, that, or the other thing that mock me, that ridicule me, that put me down. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to do what is right. And in that, I will be worthy and counted worthy of eternal life. We're at that day. Last year, like I said, next year to recover. Well, this year I don't think it's going to recover, and I don't think probably next year it'll recover either. I think it's far past the time to get right with God, to listen to what he's telling your family to do. I think the scriptural evidence is overwhelming that God wants to save our life. He said when they see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, he didn't say go up on the top of your house and get a lawn chair out and watch the apocalypse. He said get out of Jerusalem. God wants to preserve your life for a reason, and that reason is that we would bear his witness and be what he wants us to be on this planet. There'll be those that really obey his voice. I mean, you know, the food and supplies I've stored, I've used to protect my wife and that, but if God wants to use them for other purposes, so be it. I don't have a problem with that. But the thing is, we are quickly seeing the day of being able to prepare disappear. The door in the ark is going to shut, and the ability to prepare will be gone, and it'll be gone forever. And at that point, you will have to make your choices. We have people calling us up now and just saying, I need to get 6 months worth of food supply. I can't get it. They've waited too long. We're going to see more and more of that happen, people waiting too long to do what they need to do, and they won't be able to get that. Doug, that coffee you have, where does it come from?
It's actually, we have a roaster in Florida, one of the best in the world, I believe, but it's Hagman coffee. Folks, you can go to HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. Bob, I gotta ship you some because, you gotta try it. It's gourmet coffee. But here's the thing, Bob. The significant proceeds from this, we don't really make that much because we send significant proceeds to two organizations who combat child and sex, human and child sex trafficking. And that's Rest the Stars, Shatter the Darkness Institute, as well as Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue.
Yeah, my point is that it comes from overseas.
Oh, yes.
And one
day,
yeah, you're not going to be able to get that because of the supply chain breaks down. And, you know, if you want to avail yourself of what God has to give you, you need to do it now. The day is quickly and rapidly approaching when you won't be able to do it. And, you know, I just hear people say all the time, well, we'll just come over to your house. We'll do this. I think of the virgins, the 10 virgins. I mean, you know, there were 5 wise and 5 foolish ones. The 5 wise ones who actually had stored extra oil didn't share. And I'm not saying it's not that we don't share, but they realized I only have enough for what my mission. I only have enough to accomplish the purpose for which I stored it for. I don't have enough to give to you. If I do, we'll both be destitute. And so, if you think that you're going to be able to go and mooch off somebody else, I mean, that is the most immoral thing I can think of. In fact, when I hear Christians say that, that really is a nauseating thought, that I'm just going to come over to your house. So basically what they're saying is I want to take my money and still buy stuff and enjoy things and have a good life. And then if it does go bad, I'll just impose upon you because you were prudent and I wasn't. That's foolishness to think that. But again, you know, that's the way the world, this United States has become. And I think we are headed, I think what you heard in Wuhan, I think in some ways they've had it harder all their life than we've had. Our fall is going to be further than their fall. And it's going to be catastrophic when it happens. Again, the time to prepare is closing. I think, you know, there's, as far as the physical realm, and I want to point it out that Abraham, I use him as an example. The first and foremost thing that Abraham had was that moral strength. He also had men of valor. They had the tools. They had trained. They'd done things. They know how to use those swords, those spears, the bows, whatever they had. They probably put a backpack on because they knew they were going to have to take some food with them because it was, they weren't going to do this in one day. And then the last important thing was the items they took with them. So they had the moral strength, they had men of valor, and then he had supplies. Like I said, you know, the first one, the moral strength is the most important thing we're going to have, but the supplies is critically important for us to acquire at this point. Again, throughout the scripture, we see people doing this. And so when you're listening to those voices of people telling you, don't do this. I mean, I've had some people in the church mock me more than anybody. He has a survival company. They're mocking me. And yet I can promise you, as soon as they can't get something, they will pretend like they're my best friend and need what I, you know, you need to share. You know, I remember one of the dystopian novels I read. I think it was 299 Days or, yeah, how everybody becomes a good collectivist when they have need. And that's what it'll be. I mean, these people are going to feel like they're entitled to my stuff. I mean, and that's not going to be the case. I have it for my family. And I'll defend it because I'm protecting the life of my family. So, again, now is the time. And one thing I want to point out, because I'm a big proponent of shortwave and ham radio, you know, in Wuhan right now, the government's cutting off the internet. They're cutting off the ability to use your cell phone, and that leaves people completely isolated. You know, we have at our means today abilities to be able to listen to what's going on around the world. Aside from our cell phone, aside from the computer, we have the ability to talk. That I can have radios for my family, have radios for my children, and be able to communicate with them in the event that the IP address on the cell phone go down, which I think they will. I think as we see this coronavirus break out, the government will try to restrict the information that flows out because they don't want to panic people. Again, the economy is our God that we have to serve, and that's the most important thing is keeping the economy going. And that is important, but I think they will use whatever they need to do to protect that. And when you cannot get in touch with your children or family, I think that is going to be really catastrophic on people. And like I said, right now, I'm willing to talk with anybody. I won't try to force you to buy anything, but I'm willing to talk with anybody about setting up a communications plan for them and their family. I mean, I can show you tricks and things you can do. I mean, to use radio that you can speak in such ways that people won't know what you're talking about, or do what you need to do to protect your location, protect your property, to authenticate who you're talking with, to maybe even block other people that would use ham radio against you or radio against you. Let me say that. And so, you know, Doug, I just want to say that's what really ready-made resources does. Obviously, we sell stuff to keep in business, but I really have a passion for helping people make those circles of friendships around them that will allow them to survive what is coming. And I think anybody who looks at this situation right now, especially with the moral depravity, the catastrophic debt, the breakdown of the family, all these data points that we see coming at us in greater and greater frequency, that I realize that something is wrong. I had some very, let's see, well-placed friends in the government tell me that, you know, it's all over. There's no stopping this slide to depravity before it creates utter chaos and the country breaks down into violence. Now, that's not me saying it. That's not you saying it. That's a person who's what would be considered normal mainstream has said that to me. And so, you know, again, you know, Patrick Henry said, I only have one way of judging the future, and that's by the past. God gave us history. Peter said, I write these things to bring you in remembrance of how God has dealt with humanity. And we have this record of scripture to see how God has dealt with humanity. Well, if you can read the Bible and look at the judgments God has brought on other civilizations, and then look at our civilization today, what we're doing, and think that there's no congruency between the two, I would say you've really stepped outside of reality. As I read it and I look at it, I see that there's a tremendous congruence between God bringing judgment on past civilizations and God bringing judgment on this civilization. And these judgments aren't going to go away. They're going to continue to increase and increase until we either repent or are completely broken. And so with that, I would just say, take warning. I mean, every bit of news information you get on TV, all that is propaganda teaching you and telling you to do something and to act a certain way, because that is the way they want you to be. Dependent. Be independent. You know, again, I go back to Joseph. I do think there were those that probably looked at Joseph and said, that guy is storing food for the nation. I'm going to put some food aside in my house. And they might not have been as dependent and had to sell everything off like most of the civilization of Egypt did when the famine came. So we have two paths here. We have the path of just being ignorant and bliss and hoping everything comes back to normal, which I think history and the record of Scripture say otherwise. Or we have the path of being fearful before holy God, listening to what he has to tell us, and discounting all the mockery and insults and prejudice that people put against us, because we do act upon what God is telling us through the record of history, through the record of Scripture, and act upon that and do what is diligent. I mean, throughout the Scripture, we see this. And I would just draw people back to it. Anybody who would accuse me of fear porn, anybody who would accuse me of, you know, profiteering, you know, I'm not the guy selling those N95 masks for $11,000. We haven't raised the price on them. Obviously, you can't get them right now. But we don't do that. So, you know, you have this record of history that you can either ignore or act upon. And my fear is that most are going to ignore it because they don't want to be mocked, ridiculed. You know, what's this? That's storage food. What are you doing with that? And just being mocked because of it. And so they would rather be accepted now in the temporal and then rather than do something when it's going to really count. And they're going to look back and with much, much regret, saying, I ignored the warning of history. I ignored the warning of the prophets, and I just ignored common sense because my reputation meant more to me than doing what I should have done. Steve?
Amen. Amen, Bob. And Steve, are we seeing cognitive dissonance here in the United States? I mean, is that, or is, I mean, what are we seeing by not seeing people going to the store, lines in the store? Not that I want that, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, we're seeing assumption. We're seeing ignorance. But more importantly, we're seeing mind control. Bob just detailed it. And, you know, Bill Casey, former director of CIA, I actually interviewed Frank Dukes, his hitman, if you will, or problem solver. He was the only guy in history that won the Kumite, the most famous karate match, twice. And I talked to him. I had him on my show and I talked him off the air. The name of the book was Secret Man. But, you know, William Casey made the statement that we'll know that our efforts have been effective when everything the American people believe is a lie. Well, I didn't say that. So when people are using terminology that's AI generated and CIA promulgated, i.e. fear porn, I know immediately when I hear it. By the way, I get that more from Christians than I do from critics. You know, I want to share something, too. And by the way, everyone, thank you for your patience. Midnight Strikes, da-da-da, came in. Daniel Holdings has done an exemplary job on this. And, yes, this is a book for sale. How is it that a plumber can charge $100 an hour, at least in Bozeman, electrician, $90 an hour, mason, $200 an hour, but somehow I can't earn my living? And, oh, by the way, I've been in the gold market. And, oh, by the way, I sold palladium to a guy at $80 an ounce, and he spent $800 on 10. I just wrote him a check for $24,000 and overnighted it. Look, I can't control the markets. Smarter people. And in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. But the metals markets have been manipulated. But you'll have it. And at the end of the day, God created the gold and silver. He didn't create, Federal Reserve notes, T-bills, or derivatives. In this book, okay, I want to share something. Daniel Holding asked to interview me. The last book I wrote or will ever write is Jesus, The Premise, The Promise, because it's something that was the end of my life. And if some of you had your way, I would have been dead, you know, a decade ago. But because of the intercessors, I'm still alive to fulfill, you know, the calling on my life. And Doug was involved in that stuff with me in real time. He knows how ugly it got. That's not BS. We're not making it up. And oh, by the way, little miss wanting sources for everything. I intentionally don't know names. I'll have initials and I'll have names like the guy that likes, let's say this, I'll call him Penn Fishing Reel because he's a guy that I talk to. I don't ask his name. Here's the deal. If I don't know names, I can't give them up. And if they're not on my computer, guess what? They don't exist. But the thing is, you got to ask yourself, what have I talked about ahead of time? And I'm not pitching product, Doug. I'm just saying this. Critics are a dime a dozen, but find truth and search for wisdom. It'll be the greatest treasure hunt of anyone's life. Because Proverbs 8 says Jesus is, or Corinthians says Jesus is the wisdom of God. But Proverbs 8 is I wisdom. That's talking about the Son of God in the first person. Judgment Unleashed is basically, I'd say the timing of this, Daniel Holdings approached me on it, and he basically, I guess you'd say, brought out this stuff. Thank you for putting it up, Eric. Stuff that, you know, I've held back. And even now, as I go to Branson in July, and I believe God moved that forward because everything I'm hearing from September, October on is going to be disastrous. And there are plans to make everybody happy and be able to see the presentation, hear the presentation in real time. Should things go south quickly, there is a backup plan. I think you'll be remarkably blessed. I'm not going to tell you what it is. So no one will be out anything. But in the Holdings and Quayle interviews, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, you'll hear stuff in there that I've never said anything. I'll give you a good example. This is what I'll probably be talking about partially on Coast to Coast tonight. If you go on my website, stevequayle.com, and Eric, if you could pull up the photo of the day, I was on another track, another direction, and just pondering stuff, and God dropped a name in my spirit, and I never heard of it before. And I put it up as a photo of the day. And basically it was Tamu Massif. Massif is French for massive. Tamu Massif. Well, I looked at it and it was the biggest volcano in the world, underwater, in the ancient land of Mu. There you go. That's Tamu Massif. It's at 6,500 feet under sea level, or under the, you know, ocean level. And then from the base of it, it rises from 14,500 feet. So it's about 21,000 feet tall from the base to top. This is the lost continent of Mu. But look at this. It's Texas, okay? T-A-M-U, which is Texas A&M University. I promise you, I didn't name it. Massive. So one of my listeners said, Steve, did you see what's out on the right edge of this? And this is what will be on Coast to Coast website tonight. And I said, no, here's the thing. I inverted it. I've been telling everybody, Doug, you were there, Bob, you were there, that after, you know, Branson, the alien thing, I said it's going to turn to Mars. And then you guys were there when I said the word normal would never be again after what? I think it was the second year. And now the word normal is gone forever. So when I inverted this after my, God bless my brother and sister who sent it to me, they noticed it. I noticed the pyramids and stuff like that. But this is the sunken continent of Mu. How cool is it? And then if you basically superimpose that over Mars and over Olympus Mons, which is the largest, was a volcano in our solar system, and you superimpose them, and the face on Mars and the face on Tamu Massif are overlaid almost perfectly. That means that Mars and the and this is important, Bob. Mars and Earth were opposing each other when they were like less than 50,000 miles from each other. The discharge between the planets created the Grand Canyon on the Earth, and it created Valley Marineris on Mars. Okay, so what does that have to mean with everything? Well, why that's important, ladies and gentlemen, is because as we have welcomed the gods, as we have unleashed the fallen angels, as mankind who has been given authority, has yielded that authority to Satan and the fallen ones, guess what? They're opening the keys to hell. And the thing that's really important is, just as thou shalt have no other gods before me, the land that used to honor thee, God, brought in all sorts of foreign gods. As the foreign gods came in, the evil spirits and fallen angels that made the people worship in the first place all are having a heyday. Why is this important? Because, Doug, one of the things I said is, I said, just as in this book, the Holding Squale interview, just as the ancient civilizations sank beneath the waves, whether it's Atlantis or Mu or Lemuria or any numerous, you know, probably 10 great civilizations that most people don't even know existed, I said, what's going to happen as the earthquakes take place, the great quakes? That which has been hidden is going to be revealed. As the winds upon the earth blow at cyclonic and hypercyclonic speeds, the deserts that have literally covered up the cities of giants are going to be revealed. And so men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon the earth. Bob Griswold and I are today talking about stuff that, you know, you already see. And if what you already see is beginning to terrify and panic, how do you deal with that stuff? So I will say this. I've spent my life trying to be obedient to my calling. After 12 books, after 5 movies, I guess now. And by the way, Cascadia is up on my website, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be blown away by that, because I have maintained, since I photographed Yellowstone Park for 48 years, after I went to film school when I was 18 years old, the issue of Yellowstone's going to blow, that's a distraction. What's happening on the West Coast is earth-changing. And I believe, Doug, you heard me. Bob, you heard me. I doubt anybody still believes me that before God allows America to be destroyed by the Russians and Chinese, hey, guess what? He's going to reveal the sins of the leaders to the people, and that includes Donald Trump's, and the people's sins before a holy God. The people are represented not only by their own perversions, but by those they elect who are perverted, that made war on God, that have decided that a child that's born in a post-birth abortion, or, you know, after abortion, is still alive, to kill him, or to listen to that monster Bloomberg tell some pregnant boy of his, kill it. They hate life. These people hate life. They will do everything and anything. And that's why Bob says he believes we're in birth pangs. I believe we've entered into great tribulations. Because if you knew the actual number, and I'll throw this out there, what happens if they're all right, or excuse me, what happens if the mainstream media is all right and we're wrong? Well, still people are dying, and the event will be the same, martial law, everything. And by the way, somebody just sent me an email, Doug, while we're on the air, Bob, saying that the DEA agent they know, said they just called, Drug Enforcement Agency, has just been called 342 agents to get them ready for cities of quarantine in the United States. Well, how can that be? And as you know, I think the president last night announced that it was just the flu. But here's the deal. If Dean Koontz can talk about the Wuhan virus, 1981, absolutely nail it to the city and the bio lab, you know, and now the contemporary name. By the way, when they started breaking with the Wuhan 400, that was a code to all the Illuminati that it's on. It on is the global depopulation of the United States, in which, excuse me, world and the United States, in which Jesus made the statement, if his second coming were not accelerated, there would be no flesh left alive. Doug, I've tried to make that point, and Bob, you know this too, on Terminated, Xenogenesis, Genetic Armageddon, all the books I've written. In essence, and I went to the point where I said, God, what more can I say? Well, by the grace of God, he answered a prayer of mine and provided somebody that would help me on my next way. I do not challenge any of my fellow radio show hosts. I'm just saying they got to go with what they believe is the best amount of information they have. But in the name of the living God, I can only say this. I have been faithful to 25 years, and Bob, you know this, one of the very first shows I ever made the statement on, the two most precious commodities in the earth shortly before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be fresh water and food. Go ahead.
Well, you know, just as we were talking, Doug, you said there was 86 people or something like that quarantined in New York. Drudge now is reporting 700, just as we were talking. And now there's a story on there that says coronavirus may explode in the United States, U.S., overnight, just like in Italy. Get ready for serious tests of broken American healthcare infrastructure. That's a story right now on Drudge. So just in the hour or so we've been talking, you know, it has changed that much. You know, I have a book here, and Steve and I have referred to it quite often. It's called The Savage Continent. I strongly recommend everybody get it. I don't know. It's probably 10 years old now. But there's a paragraph or so on there that I'd like to read, and I just want people to think about this as I read it. You know, Italy and Germany at one time were some of the most religious societies that we had. Italy was extremely Catholic. Germany, you know, they had the Protestant Reformation, all that that went on it. You know, Austria, the Geneva Bible was printed there. Some of the great reformers came out of there. But those two civilizations gave in to doctrines of demons. And in doing so, they opened themselves up to judgment. And while they went to war, they had leaders, obviously, that took over the countries that became narcissistic, evil, and they brought their countries to ruin. That might sound a little bit familiar with what's going on in the United States today. I think the parallels are just too scary to ignore. But I would say this. There's a quote in this book, The Savage Continent, and it's under the title of Moral Destruction. And I'm going to read it. And just think of this as you think of the United States. Think of this as you think of the parallels between the United States, what we're doing. Our leaders are absolutely narcissistic, immoral, lawless. They adventure into things that, you know, they are just any moral fiber in them has been compromised. As I think Steve said, there's probably more demon than human in them now. And so I want to read this quote. And husbands, families, take this seriously, because at one time, the people who engaged in what I'm going to read, they were highly religious people. You know, Italy, Catholicism. Germany, the home of Protestantism. So here it is. It says, in the whole list of sordid human vices, none were overlooked in Naples during those first few months. This is after the war. What we were witnessing, in fact, was the moral collapse of people. Has that happened in the United States? Has our country completely morally collapsed? I mean, you just look at the political leadership and the people who are running for a government. They had no pride anymore. Or any dignity, the animal struggle for existence governed everything. Food, that was the only thing that mattered. Food for children, food for yourself, food at any cost of abasement or depravity. And after food, a little warmth and shelter. And then a couple paragraphs down, it says, secondly, it became obvious that for the majority, at least, sexual morality took a back seat when it came to matters of survival. I think I could make a very strong case between the nations of Italy and Germany giving into doctrines of demons and opening the floodgates of evil into their countries. And I think we far surpass them right now. Doing. I mean, what we're allowing in public, you know, I would say neither of those two societies even did. I mean, you know, the murder of just untold millions of children, the sexual exploitation through the avenues of government of children. We protect those who violate children. We've become a sexually depraved society where every perversion now is extolled as a virtue. And if you stand for traditional marriage, that only 30% of young men today are raised in their both their biological fathers. You could open the news any day and see that another well-known figure of some sort has been arrested for child pornography, child trafficking in human beings. So we've seen this complete breakdown of morality in the United States. In the end, in the aftermath in Europe, was the destruction of Europe. And that consequence brought about the lack of food. And people, as it says there, were willing to absolutely trade away any sort of dignity they had to meet their animals' survival needs of food and shelter. And I say this very soberly. Don't be those people. Don't be those who ignore the warning signs of what is coming. Learn the lessons of history. Learn the lessons of the scripture. You know, God is not this Pollyanna Santa Claus in the sky that just gives you everything he needs. You know, I talked to my brother Jamie Walden, and we've mentioned this. The foundation of God's throne is not love. That's an attribute of God. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. He will not allow this to go on. And the degree that we're doing it is a degree we're going to see our judgment. And I know this might not be popular with people, but if you have ears to hear it, if you have reason within you, I say this, prove me wrong. Use the lessons of history. Use the lessons of scripture. Prove me wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. But as I look at the scripture, as I look at history, as I look at, excuse me, what we see going on in the world today, I only see one outcome to this. And it's not a very nice outcome. And I think what Steve has said so many times, unless these days, and we're just in the beginning of it, but unless these days will be cut short, nobody's going to survive this. But we can do things right now to protect ourselves like Joseph and Noah did. And we need to be doing that right now. We need to be getting repenting of any sin we have in our life. We are a society that worships sin. You know, I think the theology of America is I love to sin, God loves to forgive. What's the problem? And then there's a big problem with that. We need to repent as a civilization. As Christian people, we need to repent and turn back to God and become that person who is founded on the rock, founded on foundation, that we cannot be moved. I see what Steve is saying so many times. There's just so much among the Christian church right now where we're just at each other's throats. There's no unity. What it just shows is this selfishness, this self-absorption that we have, that we're the most important thing in the universe, and we can't even agree with one another. The church can't stand as the church. We fight and bicker among ourselves. We allow the absolute worst of Egypt in our ranks. And we think the outcome is going to be something other than what history has portrayed so clearly. It won't be. You know, it won't be. So you have this short window left. And I do mean short window left. Act now. Get it right with God. Hear his voice. You know, I tell people, turn the TV off. The TV is the number one way the filth of Egypt comes into your house. And when I say TV, I know I'm dating myself, and I would just use whatever streaming method you have. Get that out of your home. You know, programs like this, programs that just extol human virtue, that extol the scripture, that teach the scripture, that teach techniques on how to do things. Like I said, you know, Steve's a prophet. Might not say he is, but he is. I've known him 25 years, and I'll call him that. You know, there's a multiplicity of things we need to be doing at this point. I teach things in the physical. I teach you how to use radio. I teach you maybe how to use night vision. I teach those things where you can actually do physical preparation. There are people that tell you how to do spiritual preparation, that tell you how to get your heart right with God, how to put things into perspective so that we're not wasting our energy. So at the end of the day, when we look back and we say, I squandered it, we don't want to be there. And so I just encourage my brothers and sisters right now to take this as a sober warning, because this is just the beginning. More is coming. And the longer you wait, the longer you procrastinate doing what you need to be doing, whatever God is telling you to do, the harder it is going to be to change. Just like the people right now that want to buy, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year's worth of food, they can't do it. Not there. Well, I think as we move down this road, we're going to see less and less of it available. Steve?
Well, you know, here's the thing. The plagues of Egypt ultimately, you know, Bob, Joseph, and Doug, I thought of this morning. You know, I wish I could quit thinking and just sleep, but it dawned on me. Joseph was so trusting and obeying and in love with God, he even gave provisions for his future when he was dead. He said, don't leave me in that pagan land, but take me to where God is bringing you in the promise and bury me with my brethren. Bury me with my forefathers. Isn't that interesting? People are complaining, I'll be politically correct, complaining, well, you know, there's no faith and I'm just going to trust God. Well, you don't do it already. You know, Doug, I've heard that. That's the biggest cop-out because they don't. Now, I know there are people who do. And unfortunately, one of the coolest ones was Henry Gruber, and he's gone to be with Jesus, and rightly so. I miss him immensely, but God bless him. It's the Lord's call, not mine. I want to read for your listeners. This is something that went out to the Gen 6 people that are on the newsletter that are, you know, obviously coming, and go to gen6.com. Please, ladies and gentlemen, register for your tickets, because I can promise you any of your concerns are more than offset by our contingencies. But here's the thing. I want to read this, Doug. For the first time in contemporary history, the 10 plagues of God's visible judgment as presented in the books of Exodus have come to the forefront of world headlines in real time. It's no longer in the past. It's certainly no longer in the someday. It's here now. That is my opinion. Meanwhile, pulpits in the USA and Western nations have avoided the importance of the Old Testament prophets, the words of Jesus, and the unfolding events as detailed in the book of Revelations. Now they are unable to explain the cataclysms and the catastrophes being multiplied daily, daily, I want to emphasize that, daily, across the world and in their own apostate. Now, I coined a new, term, you guys. It's called Ichabodian institutions. Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. So those are buildings where God's glory used to be manifest. It's no longer. And then I said they're Ichabodian institutions, they're so-called churches. This horrifying multi-continent locust plague will bring famine to Africa, China, and Asia. And the volcanic emissions by the world's largest volcanoes erupting in unison will expel a massive amount of ash into our upper atmosphere, striking terror into the hearts of mankind. The result? A plague of darkness that brings with it an unprecedented environment of panic, death, and destruction, fear. This is going to be about, you guys, darkness that's going to be so deep, so present, so prevalent, so all-encompassing. And the only thing I can say I can liken it to is when the Lord gave me a literal transportation, you know, fortunately it was a two-way ticket, I'm not making fun of it, into the bowels of hell. And we just heard what I believe is a microcosm. And by the way, thank you, Bob. I needed to remind myself of that. Okay. During this time period that Jesus spoke about when he stated that men's hearts would fail them for looking after those things coming upon the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, the whole plan of Branson, I'll go on record right now. It will be the last one as I know it, as you've known it, and we praise God. It's like God gave us the four compass points, north, east, west, and south. But I said, Lord, you know, you've prepared us with certain themes, and this is the final themes. And the theme is God's judgment. Listen, it's the title of it is Ancient Cataclysms and Coming Catastrophes, the Pre-Adamic Era, and the Return of the Days of Noah. There is no greater anger, Bob and Doug, than I know of, than people who say, oh, Quayle, you're just talking about the giants. It was more than that in the days of Noah. Yeah, it was. It was violent. It was sexually corrupt. It was perverted. There was no fear of God in the land. You really don't think Jesus is telling what's going to come? He's the only one that has declared the end at the beginning. And by the way, the world can quote the book of Revelation. There are more quotations, even sometimes mocking, in the British tabloids and different newspaper headlines. They're talking about locust plagues of biblical. I have searched the history. I know it pretty well. It's what I've spent the majority of my life doing. There has never been a locust plague that is multi-continent, simultaneous with 1.2 trillion locusts. And by the way, it's not just what they're going for and needing. It's what they've left the little darlings, their progeny, to grow up and go in other directions. The wind blows where it may, and the locusts are going to devastate Africa. They're going to devastate Southeast Asia. And by the way, what's going to stop them? And I'll tell you an interesting story. Nobody knows this. And I couldn't know it unless somebody who's in that world told me. A man has nothing except he receive it from above. And Bob called me a prophet. I've never said that. I am a watchman. I heard it from the mouth of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. Anytime you say something that Jesus spoke of in the Word of God and testify him, that's the spirit of prophecy. But listen, he said, there are scientific experiments being done right now in the deserts of Utah and Las Vegas. Scientists are finding, if you're ready for this, locust plagues and Mormon crickets that have been in suspended animation. And boy, it hit me by like a ton of bricks. Isn't it interesting whether the giants are in suspended animation, where the fallen angels and the evil ones and everything that has gone before to destroy the earth, and they all coming back on the earth at the same time? Food, food, food. And, you know, Bob, I don't think, and I won't walk softly. And not that you are, but you're telling people you hope there's a harvest next year. You and I both know, and I was a food processor in those years of Safe Trek. And the bottom line is that it's not that people can't get in the cans fast enough. They can't get the food put into the cans. So people are just waiting. And you guys, I had three people send me emails in the last week. And I won't say that. They said, is it now, do you really think it's time that we get our stuff together? And I said, it's past time. So Doug, God bless you. Bob, thank you for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, we're pleading not only for your stuff that you'll stay alive, not only for your families, not only so that you give your daughters or they're taken from you, given to rape, and your young sons, but we're pleading for you to literally take the promise of Jesus Christ. I challenge anybody to go back and listen to the Wuhan, the story or the screams that Bob sent me, that Doug and Eric have played. I ask you, I dare you in the name of Jesus, I charge you in the name of Jesus to go and listen to that. And I say, Lord, is that coming here? Because there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what's in hell. But you're seeing a picture, Bob. I could tell people what it was like when I saw hell. But that is a picture of what eternal separation from the living God will sound like. The hopelessness and despair. When someone says, what is hell? I say, it is the complete absence of the love of the Father and the blood of Jesus and the knowledge you're there forever. You don't get out. And in your worst day, multiply it times a billion. There is no end to it. And that's what those people in China are weeping and wailing for. May God deliver our brethren. I prayed earlier today, you guys, that the Lord would release his ministering angels. I said, Lord God of heaven, if you can feed the children of Israel with manna, send our Christian brothers in China manna. Send them warring angels. Have them be at the right place at the right time. But God, you said it's not impossible. Ask of you, and you'll show me great and mighty things. I said, let it stand as a testimony against the unbelief in the United States of America that you rain manna down on our brethren in China, that you delivered them out of the burning homes. And by the way, Bob, you know this. They're burning Christians and children alive in their homes in China under the guise of this. Go ahead and sign off. I am done. I commit you all into the hands of the living God, whose heart of love is greater than any man can express. And Jesus loves you.
Steve, thank you very much. I'm going to turn to Bob.
You know, Steve, those words are so relevant for today. Jesus loves you. He loves your spirit. He loves your soul. And he loves your body. He gave you all of them. And he wants to preserve them. Even in the midst of judgment, God promises that he will be with you and keep you. And I would call people into remembrance of that. And again, you know, Steve, if you read the comments on that video, you just go scroll down, start reading the comments. I know what hell sounds like now. So many people wrote that. It was awful. It is not for us to be delegated to that end. God has better plans for us. And if we trust him, if we commit ourselves to him, he will protect us, body, soul, and spirit. And that's what I'd like to end with. That the grace of God be with us all, because we're going to see days ahead that are going to try men's souls.
Amen. Amen to that. Robert Griswold at Ready Made Resources. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. Not on YouTube, but HagmanReportLive.com. I want to thank you so much for everything you are doing. And folks, I know behind the scenes, Robert Griswold is helping so many people. Steve Quayle, the same thing, helping so many people. They'll never say it themselves. And maybe you'll never know. But these two gentlemen together and independent of one another are helping so many. And I want to thank you both for being the people, the men who you are. Thank you.
Thank you. And God bless you, Doug.
All right. Folks, in the final moment, final minute that I've got, you know, this broadcast today was not, well, it maybe be better for me to say what it was. It's a plea for everyone to take inventory, a mental inventory of where we're at. You know, we could talk about the origins of the coronavirus. We could talk about, or any event, some say extinction level event, or some say, yeah, regardless of what it might be, depopulation event. We could talk all day long. But at the end of the day, it's about you and me helping ourselves, helping our families, and going beyond that, helping those who need that help, sharing the gospel, sharing the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's about time to get serious. I want to thank each and every one of you who support this program. We have a Patreon meeting this weekend. Look forward to that. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.